think you're what they say you are. Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. If you are ever outside of the broadcast area, you can always stream us at huntleyradio.com. Camille is a play in five acts about a beautiful young woman who lifts herself out of poverty as a courtesan to a rich baron. It's a play with similarities to Moulin Rouge. It requires an actress of both beauty and talent. Trace Gamache is just such an actress, who I have had the pleasure of acting opposite and who now has taken on the challenge of this role for Independent Players production of Camille, opening Friday, March 3rd, and running through March 19th. Welcome to the show, Trace.
Thank you so much, Ricky Lee. It's great to be back here with you.
So let's talk about Camille. I know very little about this play. I know it's a French play that's been translated to English. It's very famous, but me being a little bit ignorant, I don't know about it.
Sure.
So enlighten me. Tell me about this play.
I think you summed it up pretty well, actually. I especially liked the part where you talked about who the actress playing Marguerite. No, I'm just kidding. The play is sort of charming. The language is interesting because everyone has a very specific sort of speech, and obviously the French translation, you know, lends itself well to sort of like poetry. I was likening it to Shakespeare, and that it takes you a moment to get the words into your body and, you know, the flow of the speech, but also when you're listening to it is a little different. I mean, I don't think it's difficult to understand the way Shakespeare is sometimes, but...
So it has a very particular flow. Is that because it was written in French originally and then translated?
I think it's just very stylized. The play is set in 1848.
One of those.
In Paris. And they are sort of a sophisticated class. And so the speech was just a little different.
And so where do we come into the story of, well, first of all, your character... is named Marguerite.
It is.
Yet the play is called Camille. So is there a...
The play, I believe, so it's like Lady of the Camellias. I'm sure I'm butchering that pronunciation, but it's a flower. It's a type of flower that she wears. This was to indicate that she was either available or unavailable. Women of the day would either wear white or red camellias.
So that kind of translates into the modern thing with roses. Every color has a different meaning.
I suppose so. I guess I didn't realize that.
Oh, yes. Red means love.
Okay.
White means friendship. Oh, yes. Oh, they all have different meanings.
Blue for dreams of the impossible,
oh,
I hear.
Well,
that's
I don't know.
The one
know.
I did know. Yeah, my mom had blue roses at her wedding, and I feel like I remember as a kid hearing her say that, now that you mention it.
That's quite quaint. I like that.
Yeah.
So now, are there a lot of flowers in the show?
Not necessarily. I reference them and I wear them. I guess I haven't really seen the set to know how many we'll actually have represented. I think, I'm sure there would be, yeah. We're going sort of minimalist.
So the concentration is really on the characters, on the acting, on the text.
Correct.
And so let's dive into that. Who is Marguerite? I mean, this is a fascinating character to play. So let's kind of peel back the layers and expose a little bit of who this is.
Sure. Well, it's funny that you ask because I was recently trying to describe this play, but mostly I was describing the plot of Moulin Rouge, the movie to Moulin Rouge, to a girlfriend of mine who had never seen it. And as I was describing it, she doesn't really sound too good, you know? It's like, oh, this woman is sort of using this other person for money to spend with her true love. And I'm thinking, wait, you know, backtrack, right? Because everybody has their own story and their own heart. A big part of Marguerite's backstory is her illness. She's actually terminally ill. And so a lot of what she does because, you know, she only has so much time left to enjoy on this earth. And I think she sort of guarded herself for so long, and then allowing herself to really fall in love was, I don't know. There's a line in it that she was like living for love, but now she's dying from it, you know? And what else about Marguerite? Go ahead.
Now, you mentioned she has a terminal illness.
Mm-hmm.
So what is her expiration date? I mean, is she going to die in her 20s? Is she going to die in her 30s?
Yeah, she's very young. I guess the way the story reads, I imagine she's in her late 30s by the time that she does pass away.
So playing a character that has a terminal illness, you have to incorporate that into your approach, you know. What are the considerations that go into adding that to your character but not having it overtake the love story, which is also so important?
Honestly, this has been one of the more difficult acting challenges I've ever had thusly in my career, is playing someone who's slowly dying, because it's so gradual, you know, and it is so physical. There's so many just physical indications. Actually, one of my co-stars, Travis Groyle, he has been tremendously helpful in this because he has experience in passing on stage. And something I have not yet implemented physically, but he was encouraging me to do was, you know, by the final days and the end scenes, you know, your body is shutting down. And so play with which parts of you are really completely inactive or which are actively engaged still, you know. So I'm looking forward to diving deeper into it myself, honestly. The whole thing has been a bit of a struggle, especially because Marguerite is such a vivacious person. She's hosting parties all the time. They like to dance. You know, she loves to laugh and entertain. And I feel like she doesn't ever take life too seriously. So having to, and she's, so, you know, she's also strong in the sense that she's trying to hide this from all of the company she's keeping.
Okay, so this is a silent illness. She, nobody knows that.
No, I mean, people are aware, okay. You know, but it's not like she wants help for it right mm-hmm. away or anything.
So it sounds like she's a very strong character. She doesn't want pity. She wants to live life on her terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is the appeal about playing a character like that? I mean, you have played such a wide range of characters, from comedy to drama to, you know, Shakespeare. What is appealing about this character? Let's say that.
All sorts of characteristics. I think she's fun, and I think it's silly, you know, to play this very high class person because, you know, I don't know. I don't necessarily find myself in those swanky situations. But also, I think that what is always fun about playing any character for me is finding, you know, their own, it's going to sound cliche, but that humanity, right? Everybody has their why, you know, what their soft spot in their hearts. And I think it's always fun to take a person who, you know, maybe isn't outwardly so favored by everybody, but, you know, they still are good, you know, they have good nature and they're still sincere.
Now, Marguerite, she has decided to lift herself out of poverty by being a courtesan.
Mm-hmm.
But then over the course of the show, she falls in love with another man.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like playing that love story, the kind of contrast? She's living almost two lives.
I suppose that's true. It's always just more alluded to. So what you see is the love story unfolding before your eyes. And her never having been in love before, it is a very cute sort of, it's all very, you know, it's the first love, a budding romance. And I will say, though, the nature of the dialogue, right, and how this play is in five acts, something else that's been a bit of a challenge is developing this really deep, deep love story in such a short amount of time because, you know, they meet and 4 days later they're ready to run away together for the rest of forever. So it's difficult to establish, you know, how people can feel so deeply connected to one another in such a short amount of time.
Well, now that is always a challenge as an actor, because you have a very limited time with your cast members to establish these relationships that you have to sell on stage. Now, you have a number of really, really talented co-stars as well. You mentioned Travis, who I just adore. You know, let's talk a little bit about some of the people that you get to play with that people are also going to want to come enjoy seeing.
It really is. I got to say, that's been one of the best parts of this whole experience is this cast. It's really fun. Funnily enough, about half the cast from I Hate Hamlet will be returning to the stage together. And Travis and his wife, Karen, also get to play lovers, you know, which is fun to see them on stage and off stage like that. We also have... someone that I've always worked with who is behind the scenes is now going to join us on the stage, Matt Hordyke. And he plays opposite Laura, this woman who I have met only for the second time. We did a show together long, long time ago before the COVID days. This was pre-COVID era. Actually, it was just March of 2020. Our show was going to get shut down. So it's good to... be back in the saddle with some of the Elgin crew because I don't always get to work with people out there. And independent players as a company I have not worked with since 2020. So the other characters are really fun. Marguerite is, as I mentioned, an entertainer. And so she has some friends that, you know, that also are swanky, but then she also has some friends who sort of leech off of that lifestyle. And also, I just want to state that it is wonderful working with all of our castmates. I know I didn't name a few, but I just wanted to make that mentioned.
And I know Steve Connell is in the cast. Steve is a good friend and a wonderful actor. I'm afraid I don't know all the other cast members as well. We do have to break for a station identification. You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. You can also listen to our shows as podcasts. Today, I'm talking with Trace Gamache, an award-winning actress starring in Camille for independent players performing at the Elgin Art Showcase through March 19th. For tickets, call 847-697-7374 or visit independentplayers.org. So, in addition to Camille, you also have a comedic sign.
That's true.
That you express in improv. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about your improv group, which is Any Suggestions. How did that come about? How did your involvement with Any Suggestions come about?
Well, I have previously improvised with the founders, Brian Freeman and April Noel. Now April Noel Freeman. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to them. And we used to, so I'm sorry, let me skip back, backtrack again. Backtrack again to just this, I believe it was the summer of 2020. They had started to form this troupe and it was just a few members. And then, of course, no performing was happening. So by the time the following year, June 2021, I suppose it would have been, they sort of got the band back together again, as it were, and called me up, and we started doing some shows in Woodstock, and then later that summer held auditions, grew the troupe just a little bit, and have been playing ever since. We had sort of a, I don't know what you'd call it, maybe a residency, as it were, at the old Hidden Pearl in McHenry. And so now we're sort of looking for a new home. We do have some shows coming up in St. Charles at the Steel Beam Theater.
Yeah, let's talk about that. You know, what these shows are going to be taking place at Steel Beam Theater in St. Charles.
That's right.
And the next show is going to be March 4th.
That's right.
So that is actually during the run of Camille.
I know.
We're going to talk about Any Suggestions, and we're going to encourage you to go to see Any Suggestions. But at the same time, Trace is going to be on stage in Elgin for this particular performance. But the good news is, any suggestions, has a bunch of shows coming up at Steelbeam
Theater.
That's
right. I'll be back with them in April and May.
Yes.
I know. I wish I could be in two places at once. Haven't figured that one out yet.
We're trying. We're trying to get that duplication machine. But let's talk about what people will see at any suggestions show in general. What is an improv show like?
An improv show is great, great fun if any of you have never been. Obviously, we rely on our audience suggestions to help create art on stage. And all of our shows coming up at Steelbeam, you know, we play long and short form games. We have been known to, you know, toss around ideas of doing sketch. We haven't implemented that into our shows necessarily, but we're looking to have thematic shows. So, you know, we'll, depending on the weekend, you can come and see a Star Wars show or et cetera. And there's about maybe six of us. There's been as little as four or five of us on stage at a time. And our troupe is, I think I want to say, about seven or eight people, depending on the month.
Now, anyone who's seen the show, Whose Line Is It Anyway, has a little bit of insight into what an improv show is like. It's a good example that most people have seen.
Yeah.
And that succeeds with, I think it's three, four people. So a small cast of players can work, but a big ensemble can also be a lot of fun.
Sure.
What are some of the games that are typical at one of these improv shows? Because, you know, people hear the word game and they think, okay, that's fun.
Sure.
But specifically, how fun? What's it all about?
They're entertaining. My favorite games are pantomime and gibberish games, where you're not allowed to use actual words and you're sort of acting things out, making noises. And a lot of those are guessing games. Also, sort of timed games or speed games. I like games. Sometimes we'll do a scene and then we'll have to do it the exact same scene, but, you know, cut in half in time and then cut in half in time again. Elimination games are always kind of fun, you know, competing with one another on stage. Games where, excuse me, we have a game called Survivor I always like to play, where there's a handful of players on the stage, and one by one we get eliminated, just like the game Survivor, and the last person standing has to do the parts of everybody. So it always gets a little silly.
And are there any other aspects to a improv show besides games? Is it all games, or are there other elements to it?
Well, sometimes a game will require a player to monologue, you know, and that'll be fuel for the fire, so to speak. People will pick and choose, you know, details from their story to now implement into a quote-unquote game. Or a lot of them are scenes, too. Games sort of equate to scenes. Sometimes we'll interview an audience member, you know, so audience participation is also part of an improv show.
I think that's really important to talk about, because my favorite part about going to an improv show is getting to interact with the people on stage and getting to see the other audience members and see, you know, because you guys know each other up there. You kind of know each other's style.
Hopefully, that's the idea, right? If you're close on stage, you're close off stage.
And somebody in the audience, you don't know what they're going to throw at you. And so that's where it really comes down to reacting on the spot. And that's the joy and the scary part about improv.
Definitely.
Is improv scary?
Definitely. But we live for the thrill of it all. Right? I always get a little nervous. It's a healthy fear, right? And part of it too, not only reading each other, but, you know, reading the room and taking in your audience. And also navigating your audience. Sometimes you get some really lewd or raunchy suggestions that, you know, you try to incorporate as a joke while turning it down.
Right.
You do want to honor your audience and you want to take their suggestions, but you can't take every suggestion.
Yeah, you want to keep it an enjoyable show for all.
100%.
So Any Suggestions is going to be playing next March 4th at 7:30 at the Steelbeam Theater in St. Charles. And tickets for that are available through the Steelbeam Theater. So for ticket information, call 630-587-8521, or you can go online to steelbeamtheater.com. So we've talked about the drama of Camille, and we've talked about the comedy of improv.
I do feel there is some comedy in Camille, though. Just to backtrack a little bit to that dialogue, it's just hidden in there, and it's very subtle. And I do think there are certain scenes that I'm hoping will land right, you know, that we can build our characters in such a way that it delivers, because there is sort of such a, as I said, just a subtle humor in this dialogue.
Well, that's
a levity to it, I guess.
And I think that that's very important. Most of the really great dramas do have at least some undercurrent of comedy to make it bearable.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, somebody dying for 2 hours is hard to take.
Absolutely.
So what is it like playing that subtle humor and honoring it, but not letting it overtake, not going slapstick with it?
I just think that with anything, it's about being authentic with your text, you know, really knowing what you're saying and delivering it in such a way that if it makes sense to you, obviously it's going to make sense to everybody else, and hopefully it shines through. And so part of this is, you know, physicality and getting it into your body, too. I think that if you... Because the text really does the work for you, right? The words are written that way for a reason. So I think just being true to it and truly embodying your character, it sort of naturally delivers itself.
So now, some shows, you know, you can kind of be a little bit loose with the lines. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get the gist of it. With a French translation of a historic text, you kind of have to stick to the lines verbatim.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the questions that I ask a lot of my guests is, how do you go about memorizing your lines? Everybody has a different approach.
Yeah.
What's your approach? Because you're on stage the whole time for
almost,
this show.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of lines. How do you learn them all?
I guess I've always just sort of learned by repetition. You know, there are these little tips and tricks that I hear over the years. Someone made mention once that if you read something with your mouth open, you'll retain it better. Because you'll read the page, you look up. Or maybe it's if you listen with your mouth open, you retain it better. See, obviously, I've not been using that one.
I think it's that if you chew with your mouth open,
yeah,
people would get offended. No, that wasn't, I don't know.
I always break down my text into little segments.
Like French scenes?
Any text, sorry. But just for anything I'm memorizing, I will take, you know, the play and segment it. And so then when I'm working on memorizing that one bit, I can have something down really solid and just move on to the next. I guess it seems so simple, right? Like, that seems so obvious. But repetition mostly. And I do like to be word perfect, actually, for any play that I'm doing. I think it's important to honor the playwright that way. And also, like you said, it's written that way. It's specific for that reason, you know,
mm-hmm,
depending on what is trying to be said or delivered. So I do like to have people help me run my lines. So that's something helpful. Usually I like to have just my castmates do it, because I don't like having anybody who both potentially come see the show know the script already. But it's been challenging this particular run. Our cast is very, very busy crew. I guess I just do. I'm just blessed with a good memory. I'm very grateful for it.
And then, do you have any other projects coming up after Camille?
Well, I would like to fill my pipeline with some more stage shows. And as we mentioned, the Any Suggestions comedy shows will be coming up April and May. I am taking a stab at some film work. It's going to be just a very short film, fun sort of three-part mini series, as it were, and I get to play a female wrestler.
Tell us about this wrestler. It sounds like an interesting character.
Oh, gosh. Well, I can't give away too much, but I'll tell you, my name is Sugar Puss O'Shea, so I'm pretty pumped to play that. It's going to be a lot of fun. I have not done much film work, and so this is something I'm excited to learn more about.
But you have a long history. You know, you didn't just stumble into acting. You Correct. Trained. You went to yeah. school for it. You have a degree in theater, right?
Yes. I have a bachelor's of fine arts with a focus in acting.
So, I mean, even though you haven't done a lot of work in film, it's something where they recognize the talent right away and said, okay, she can do this. So it's one step in a career that you want to pursue in that yeah. direction?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'll always do stage plays, but it has been a long-awaited dream to sort of dip my toes in the film industry, yeah.
And then, now, you also mentioned you want to stay in theater. You always want to have your toes wet in that pool. What appeals to you about a specific show? You know, what kinds of shows do you look for?
All the shows. Any and all shows. You know, actually, part of the reason I really wanted to do Camille is because it was a real, you know, sort of juicy role. It's a daunting task. You're not wrong. There's a lot of dialogue. And the last few characters I played, well, not really the last few, but the last character I played, it was fun because I got to play many little characters. And so this was just a different focus. I really do love comedies, and I love farces. I would love to do maybe some more dramatic pieces that land well.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. You can always listen to episodes as podcasts. Trace Gamache is a wonderfully talented actress starring in Camille at Elgin Art Showcase March 3rd through March 19th. For ticket information, contact Independent Players at 847-697-7374 or visit www.independentplayers.org. Trace, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much, Ricky. It's been really fun being here too. I always get a little nervous with these interviews, but it's lovely being back in the station with you.
All right, we'll see you in the spotlight.
Thanks.